I'm still talking about that amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. I'm going to start off the lesson with some words from Paul. He said in Titus, the 2nd chapter and verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." This amazing grace, Paul is saying, has appeared to all men. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And then the Bible tells us how we have access to this grace. It said, we have access by faith into this grace. Peter says, "We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved." Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And then he says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid," he says. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man." Paul warned those in Galatia about depending on the works of the flesh. He told them, "Christ is become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Fallen from grace? What a horrible thought. What a horrible plight we would be in if we depended on the works of the carnal self. That's not my way of living. I totally cast myself on the grace of God. It's a free gift. And in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, our Lord told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." I read one time where a preacher, sometimes he gave away money at the end of a sermon just to make a point. He would offer a dollar to anyone who would accept it. Free money. A gift. He invited anyone who wanted the cash to come and take it. He said the response was predictable. A pause. Some shuffling feet. A wife elbows her husband. He shakes his head. A 5-year-old starts walking down the aisle. His mother pulls him back. Finally, some courageous soul stands up and says, "I'll take it." The dollar is given, and the application began. He asked the rest of the congregation, "Why didn't you take the dollar? Why didn't you take the offer?" Some say they were too embarrassed. Others said the pain wasn't worth the gain. Others feared a catch, a trick. Then there were those whose wallets were fat. What's a dollar to someone who has thousands? So I would ask you today, why don't people accept our Lord's free gift? The answer could be similar. Some are embarrassed to accept forgiveness. To accept forgiveness is to admit sin. Others fear a trick, a catch. Surely there is some fine print in the Bible. Others think, who needs forgiveness when you're as good as I am? Even though grace is available to everyone, it's accepted by few. Many choose to sit and wait, while only a few chooses to stand and trust. He said he ran into the girl the next day and he asked her, "Do you still have the dollar?" "No," she replied. "Did you spend it?" "No, I gave it away," she said. "When I returned to my seat, a youngster asked me if he could have it, and I said, sure. It was a gift to me. It's a gift to you." Isn't that something? As simply as she received, she gave. The boy didn't beg, and she didn't hold back. How could she, who had been given a gift, not give a gift in return? Paul asked a crucial question. How can we who died to sin still live in it? How can we who have been made right not live righteous? How can we who have been loved not love? How can we who have been blessed not blessed? How can we who have been given grace not live graciously? If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.